area. And phone lines were getting knocked out, too. Cell phone service was spotty at best. The weather service was next to useless, and the regional power combine's own weather forecasters were no better, without satellite data to work with. In short, this storm was going to cause a mess, a frightful, dangerous, perhaps fatal mess. The president of the regional combine burst into the command center, stamping snow off her boots. She was a large black woman who had yet to prove that she was more than affirmative action window dressing. "What's the story, Carl?" she called to him as she pulled off her long fur-trimmed coat and flung it on the nearest desk. "Where is everybody?" Fewer than half the desks were occupied. "My people are having a hard time getting through the snow," he replied as she came up close enough for him to smell her heavy perfume. "Tell me about it," she said. "Highway's blocked by a jackknife semi. I had to detour all around hell and back. Damn near got stuck in a snowdrift coming into the parking lot." "It's going to be bad," Ulbricht said gloomily. "It already is bad." He nodded. "We're getting calls from here and there about outages. It's spotty so far, but it's going to cascade, isn't it?" "Damn right," Ulbricht muttered through gritted teeth. "We could see 500,000 families without power before this is through. More." The president looked around the half-empty command center, then back at Ulbricht. "Okay, tell me what needs doing. Give me a desk and put me to work." His respect for her bounded upward several notches, but he still hated trees. The Pentagon, Situation Room. Brad Scheib walked out of the Situation Room, past the two air policemen lounging in the corridor who snapped to attention at the sight of a two-star general, and headed for the men's room, 24 paces down the hall. He had written the order and sent it. Karen should have it in her hands by now, he thought, unless they're still dicking around with need-to-know crap. No, the Coggins woman said her office had set up direct links, top priority. If the White House can't get a message through to Karen, nobody can. In the lavatory, he went straight to the nearest sink and started washing his hands. When he realized what he was doing, he laughed to himself sardonically. How biblical, he thought. Like you can get rid of your guilt with a little soap and water. Karen's piloting Able One, he said to himself. I'd like to get whatever genius assigned her to that job and stuff his balls up his nose. Like that's going to help. She's out there over the North Pacific, heading toward Korea. Probably over Japan by now or close to it. The tanker's going to be late if those guys at Misawa get it off the ground at all. So Karen has the option of loitering around waiting for the tanker to refuel her, or aborting the mission and landing at Misawa. She's tough, Scheib remembered. Tougher than I am. When the shit hit the fan and the Board of Inquiry called her in, she didn't say a word about me. Wouldn't tell them a thing. They thought that'd crack her, sticking her with a bus driver's job and a stupid test program. But now she's in the middle of a real situation. Nuclear war, maybe. It all depends on what she does. What she can do. She won't abort the mission. Not Karen. She'll stooge around over the water until that tanker shows up. Or she runs so low on fuel she'll have to glide back to Misawa. Scheib almost laughed as he went from the sink to the urinal. The brass thought they were punishing her, but they've stuck her in the hottest spot any Air Force pilot could be in right now. As he unzipped his fly, the general thought, she could come out of this a hero.